What a day. What a day. Greetings to you, thrill seekers, music lovers, conversationalists, all across the fruited plain. It's the Rush Limbaugh program, meeting and surpassing all audience expectations on a daily basis. I am America's anchor man. It is Friday. Let's go.
Live from the Southern Command in sunny South Florida, it's Open Line Friday.
Only an hour left. We'll get to as many of your phone calls as possible, and pretty much whatever you want to talk about, give it a go. 800-282-2882, the email address, rush@eibnet.com. All right. In this segment, I'm going to tell you what I've learned about Cindy Sheehan and her supporters. I've been trying to avoid this story today, but I came across some stuff that I just have to pass on to you. Before we get to that, though, we just got a couple of audio sound bites in here that you have to hear. As you know, the Washington Post has a story today. We've been talking about it. Some Civil War expert has been examining, at the Post's request, 20-year-old writings of Judge John Roberts, and has concluded that the man probably is a Confederate and supported slavery. The reason for this is that he, in a document 20 years ago, in a memo, he referred to the Civil War as the Civil War, then crossed it out and replaced it with the war between the states, which is code lingo among Confederates to this day, that they still wish they would have won that war. It was the war against Northern aggression, and they want it all back. And Roberts supports them. Roberts, a closet Confederate, and we know what that means. It means support slavery. Washington Post, and they're serious. They're dead serious. That's what makes it so funny. So last night on Special Report with Britt Hume, Robert Byrd was the guest, and Robert Byrd did not know the story was coming, so Britt Hume didn't have a chance to ask him about it. But I got to tell you, now that story's out and Senator Byrd has no doubt read it, I'm pretty sure we can count on his vote now for Judge Roberts. Judge Roberts, Brian Wilson, subbing for Britt Hume, and said to Sheets Birds, and after meeting with Judge Roberts, what's your initial reaction?
He impressed me as being someone who's thoughtful. I think his chances are good. I am going to await any final decision until I follow the hearings and read more about his opinions.
So that's what I'm talking about. When he comes across this story today, that he probably already has. He's probably happy. Roberts, a closet Confederate. At this next one. This is great. Wilson says, you say that you're not going to make your final decision based solely on his legal writings and opinions. Your decision will all be based on the measure of the man.
Of course, we're going to judge a man by what he has done in the past, what by his record. Look at his opinions. Look at what he has said in certain writings of his. But we also have to remember that every man has an opportunity to grow. I grew, and I thank God that I had an opportunity to grow.
Well, so, this is, of course, Sheets referring to his past as a Grand Kleagle in the Ku Klux Klan in West Virginia, from which he has since grown. And so Judge Roberts now has grown to a sympathetic supporter of the Confederacy. So it'll be interesting to watch this. And I just wanted to get Sheets on record here. Now we move on to the Cindy Sheehan stuff. First up here is a story by Lee Kaplan at frontpagemagazine.com. How many of you are under the impression that this little circus down there is just a bunch of little leftists, misguided though they may be, but they're still Americans? And Cindy Sheehan showed up down there, and man, they all said, "Ooh, here's our chance to batter," and they rallied around her, and they're trying to create this legitimate and apparently spontaneous anti-war movement. If you have that impression, stand by. As Mr. Kaplan writes, in her ongoing cameo as news media darling, Cindy Sheehan's been cast as the bereaved mother of an American soldier killed in Iraq. Sheehan has embraced that role with an activist's gusto. She has called for the withdrawal of American troops and made vile attacks against Israel, justifying both by citing the tragic loss of her son. Thus has Sheehan turned her 15 minutes of fame into a mendacious, infomercial for the very elements who have dedicated themselves to murdering other mothers' sons. In calling for the U.S. to pull out of Iraq, Sheehan is providing effective propaganda for the likes of the PLO and the diehard remnants of the Ba'ath Party in Iraq. In this context, it's instructive to consider the groups that have pledged their support for her publicity stunt, and it is a stunt that's been orchestrated by a San Francisco PR firm. Among those of her comrades less remarked upon is the Crawford Peace House of Crawford, Texas. Aside from being one of Sheehan's most vocal backers, the Crawford Peace House is a front group for several radical causes, among them the support of Palestinian terrorism and Ba'ath Party insurgents under the guise of promoting peace activism. The group's homepage, which has since been scrubbed, by the way, features a photo in which the entire area between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean is wiped off the map. That's now Israel, by the way. This is supplemented by an historical banner complaining about Israel's attacks, invasions, and occupation. No mention is made of the successive Arab assaults on Israel from its birth in 1948, then again in 65, 67, and 93. To stress the point, the Crawford Peace House website displays a tired rant by somebody named Hadi Jawad, in which all the problems of the Palestinians are blamed on Israel. Sorry, wrong button. If you look at the photos above the essay, however, you will see where Cindy Sheehan's newfound ally stands. There you will find Eugene Bird, an anti-Jewish conspiracy theorist who has managed to blame the prisoner abuses at Abu Ghraib on the Israeli Mossad. If you read a report of a recent Crawford Peace House demonstration, you go over to the radical left-wing website Indie Media. If you scroll down to the final photo, you'll see how the people of Crawford react to these anti-American, anti-Israeli zealots. And note that there are plenty of Palestinian flags, yet the only American flags that you'll see flying on poles in the front yards of houses and local businesses. The final photo in this article shows a nearly empty Crawford, Texas sidewalk. No doubt the locals had better things to do than watch a gang of radical subversives declare their solidarity with terrorism and parade their contempt for the U.S. That Cindy Sheehan would willingly associate herself with groups like the Crawford Peace House is not surprising. An opponent of the war in Iraq before her son reenlisted, Sheehan had already associated with people like Medea Benjamin of Code Pink, whose organization supported sending human shields to Saddam's regime, and who sent money to aid the other side in Fallujah. Code Pink has actually funded our enemies in Fallujah, and Cindy Sheehan is with them. Another of her prominent supporters, United for Peace and Justice, whose head, Leslie Kagan, is a longtime member of the Communist Party USA. Along with many of the activities currently converging on Crawford, the group opposes U.S. policy in Iraq and throughout the world. During an appearance, San Francisco State University, Cindy Sheehan said before a similar crowd as the one that is in Crawford, this country isn't worth fighting for. Similarly, at a Sacramento rally that she attended, a videotape captured a soldier being hanged in effigy. If you go to this Crawford Peace website, you'll see that it's been scrubbed of all these pictures. But we found, at least I have them, I printed them out here. Now, here's the bottom line of this is, to me, for days and days now, the media has been obsessed with Pat Robertson, and they have demanded to know if the president supports his call for the assassination of Hugo Chavez, which he's explained and apologized for. But all week, the media has been obsessed, particularly CNN. They just can't get enough of this. And they're running around, and they're trying to associate every conservative with Pat Robertson. They try to get me, all kinds of networks try to get me to comment on this program about it so that they could use tape of what I said in the news, their newscasts. They've demanded that Bush explain it. They've demanded that anybody in the conservative side support Robertson's case. You support this, you support this. Robertson's a private citizen. He speaks for himself. He has no official association with the White House. Didn't matter, though. But now we have these radical left groups like MoveOn.org, these numerous blog sites embracing people and other groups that seek our defeat in Iraq and actually embrace our enemy. And not one of them is ever asked. Not one politician is ever asked, do you support these groups? Do you support what Cindy Sheehan's doing? Bush is asked, why won't you meet with her? But not once has Hillary Clinton or John Kerry or the rest of the Democratic leadership been asked to denounce these people. They benefit from MoveOn.org, which is nothing more than a Democrat front group. Al Sharpton is going to go to Camp Cindy. He's a former Democrat presidential candidate who endorsed Kerry. He works with Hillary. He's going to go to Camp Cindy. Reverend, don't do this. You do not know who you're getting associated with. I'm trying to help you, Reverend Sharpton. You've either started your talk show or you soon will be. This is not what you need. You are not going to build an audience doing these kinds of things. And you're not going to be helping your country doing these kinds of things. The Democratic leadership, however, and Sharpton going down there is proof of this. The Democratic leadership is tied to and embracing these groups. The Republican leadership is not tied to Pat Robertson. They're not tied. Pat Robertson doesn't dictate policy. These groups do. These groups are putting words in the mouth of people like Barbara Boxer and Russ Feingold and others and Patrick Leahy. And yet not once have Clinton or Kerry or the others been asked whether they support the underlying mission and motives of these people down in Crawford. Hillary hasn't been asked a single thing, and she won't be. Same thing with the UN, if you think about it. The UN issues vile anti-Semitic resolutions. The UN is hostile to America. Never are people like Joe Biden and Chris Dodd and the others asked to defend or repudiate the UN. They're never asked to comment on it. Yet they demand that we follow the UN, that we go through the UN, and that we bow to the UN. Now, all I'm saying is I think it's time that these Democrat leaders cease being allowed to get away with this. So I think the question needs to be put out there. Mrs. Clinton, do you endorse these groups that are behind Camp Cindy? It isn't Camp Casey. It's Camp Cindy. Do you support these groups, Mrs. Clinton? Do you support or endorse them? Do you want us to win this war or not, since many of them are rooting against this country? This group down in Crawford is actively rooting against the United States. They are rooting for the enemy. The largest group down there is a pro-Palestinian, anti-Israeli group, which has sent money to our enemies in Fallujah. Do you support and endorse these groups, Mrs. Clinton? Do you endorse these groups protesting outside Walter Reed Hospital and tormenting our troops there? It's time to come out of the closet. No longer, I don't think, can Hillary Clinton and any of these other Democrats benefit from these radical groups without having to explain to the American people their association. And they do benefit from them because they send them money. These groups are contributors. They are one of the arms and maybe an arm and a leg of the Democratic Party. And yet never once are they asked, do you support the mission of these groups? It's time for the Democratic Party to either stand with the troops or stand with those who undermine the troops. The Democratic Party is trying to waffle this and trying to walk a tightrope. They can't afford to make mad the people like Cindy Sheehan or the MoveOn.orgs or this Crawford House for Peace. But at the same time, they can't openly support our troops either. What is that about? It's time for you people in the Democratic Party to either stand with our troops or stand with those who undermine them. And that is the point. Quick timeout. We'll be back after this. Stay with us. And as I was saying before we had to go to the break, I'm getting impatient with all this. The media wants us to believe that this is just some spontaneous protest at some ditch and camp at Camp Cindy. It all started with one grieving mom. That's what they all want us to believe. But that's crap, folks. This entire event has been staged with PR professionals and radical anti-war protesters with experience from the Vietnam era, and the Democrat Party has furnished groups to them. None of this stuff just happens. It just doesn't effervesce and bubble up on its own. And I'll tell you why Mrs. Clinton doesn't speak out against it. I'll tell you why John Kerry doesn't speak out against it. Because they support it. But they don't have the guts to say this themselves. They're content to let poor, pathetic people like Cindy Sheehan mouth it for them. And they're content for this renegade bunch of losers down in Crawford, Texas, to say the words that they don't have the guts to say. The fact is that they have aligned themselves with these radicals, the same anti-war leftists that helped undermine our soldiers in Vietnam. And Hillary and John Kerry know this better than most, since they were both active in that movement themselves. Now, Hillary Clinton, she seems to think that the way you support the troops during war is to propose legislation for more national health care. Wrong. The way you support the troops during war is to speak out for them, repeatedly, unequivocally. To tell the groups associated with you and your party to stop undermining the war effort. To praise the accomplishments of our armed forces, which are considerable. But Hillary Clinton doesn't do that, does she? John Kerry will not do that, will he? He will not do that, nor will either of them condemn these groups. To the phones we go. Rick in Jacksonville, Florida, you're next, sir. Hello and welcome to Open Line Friday.
Hey, Rush. I am a remnant of the hippie counterculture and the 60s peace movement, and I wanted to weigh in on the Cindy Sheehan and so-called peace movement that's going on now.
Yes, sir.
Well, I want to make 2 points. One, this is not Vietnam. There is no draft. It's a voluntary military. We were also attacked here in America, and we've seen attacks in England, which we did not see during Vietnam. And I think the reasons for us being in Iraq and stuff are a lot clearer than they were for Vietnam. So while I was sympathetic to that movement, I cannot agree with this thing going on now. Also, you know, a lot of us kind of, you know, we dropped those naive ideas from back then. That really, the politics of pacifism just really don't work in our world. You know, it's like enlightenment through drugs and free love. I mean, we discarded those old ideas.
Well, they haven't done that in Canton, Ohio. The free love is still apparently working well there.
But, I mean, what are we doing in Iraq that's not to help build world peace? I thought that's why we were there.
Well, I know, but if you listen to these groups, we're committing genocide. Cindy Sheehan says we're committing genocide.
Well, those people are, you know, they're out in outer space somewhere. Ultimately, what do they think? That the Muslim extremists are going to drop their arms and join us in a chorus of give peace a chance?
No, what they think is, as comical as that is, what they think is that this is all our fault. That if we would get out of Israel, and that if we would get out of Iraq, and if the Israelis would get out of Palestine, there'd be no more terrorism. And if we would get rid of our nukes, there'd be no more war. And if we downsize our military, there wouldn't be any more threat, and nobody would fear us, and so we wouldn't be causing all the problems. These are the Blame America First crowd. There's some people in this group that don't even like this country.
Well,
Rick, I mean, you've got some anti-Americans in this bunch.
I know we do.
Actively seeking our defeat, not just protesting us.
Well, not all of us, you know, aging hippies believe that.
Well, I know you'd be there. That's my. I've been making the point. If this were a universal protest like it were back in the Vietnam era, you'd be there. You'd have hundreds of thousands of people there. They're having to recruit people. They're having to hire the rent-a-mobs to come in. They have to have a PR agency to get this in the news every day with the willing accomplices in the press that are happy to help. They have to actively seek out people to show up down there. This is not spontaneous. There are not people, you know, heading out in the RVs and the Volkswagen vans and buses and so forth and heading down there to be part of this thing. They're having to recruit people, pure and simple. You're exactly right. Everything you said, and I'm glad you called. We'll be back. You don't have to think, folks. I do that for you. All you have to do is listen. Rush Limbaugh, your host for life, doing that which I was born to do. This is hilarious. John Bolton is having a reception at the private residence of the UN ambassador, which is at the penthouse of the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. He's having this private reception tonight. The Washington Times, Fox News, and various other conservatives will be there, but the Washington Post and New York Times have not been invited. And they're all upset over that out there. Well, Bolton's just a coward. He doesn't have the guts to face people who oppose him. Wrong, as usual. He's snubbing you. Why? I'm surprised more people don't do this. You don't need the New York Times or Washington Post to get your story out, and you don't need the New York Times or Washington. They're going to hurt you. Why give them anything when you've got other media that you know are friendly and at least fair? Have them in. You got a story to tell. You're throwing a reception. A reception is to show appreciation. What has he got to show any appreciation to the New York Times or the Washington Post for? Where do they automatically qualify for these invites to come in and drink the free booze and eat the free food and go back to the papers and write pieces about how rotten the guy John Bolton is? I wouldn't invite the New York Times to a party. I wouldn't invite hardly anybody in the mainstream media. Why do I want to be surrounded by people who hate my guts? Why do I want to... Rush, you just turn the other cheek. Rush, if they only knew the real you, but they could know the real me all day long and it still wouldn't affect the way they report about me. It wouldn't. And they know the real John Bolton. Do you think these people don't know who the real John Bolton is? I applaud this. Why the hell should he have them there? It's not 30 years ago where if you want any press, you've got to have the New York Times and the Washington Post there. It's a different day. Okay, this next story. Folks, honest to God, it's also from the Washington Post. The Washington Post has gone over the cliff. The Washington Post with a serious story today that John Roberts may be a closet Confederate who supports slavery. Washington Post with a story 2 weeks ago about how he grew up in an all-white neighborhood in Indiana. No blacks, no Jews. Jews in the neighborhood. Never have any hard times. Can we trust a man to be on the court who's this insulated from real life in America? Blah, 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 blah. Okay, earlier this week, Pat Robertson caught himself in a controversy, a swirl, by suggesting that Hugo Chavez, that little tyrant thug down in Venezuela, be taken out. It was assumed that he was advocating the assassination of this man. Robertson said, you misinterpreted. I wasn't saying he has a number of ways to take people out. Then he apologized for it. During all of this, the mainstream press was trying everything they could to link every conservative of prominence with Pat Robertson, demanding that people denounce and separate themselves from Pat Robertson, unlike what they're doing with Cindy Sheehan and this walking endless parade of debris down there at the Crawford dump. And Hillary Clinton and John Kerry. They are not asking those people, do you support what they're saying about the troops? Do you not asking the question. Washington Post. Can I read you this headline today? Is anything wrong with Pat Robertson making a killing? 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 Is anything wrong with Pat Robertson making a killing? Here's the story. While controversy boils over Pat Robertson's call for the assassination of Venezuela's president this week, another controversy is bubbling about one of his ventures. Seems that Pat Robertson's age-defying diet shake isn't just a philanthropic endeavor anymore. The televangelist is looking to turn a profit from him. And that's the killing. Is anything wrong with Pat Robertson making a profit? After 4 years of touting the benefits of his weight loss shake via his nonprofit Christian Broadcast Network and sending the recipe to any viewer who asked for it, Robertson has licensed the shake for national distribution by General Nutrition Corp, a Pittsburgh-based health food chain. Robertson says he's exercising his right to engage in a business venture, but an evangelical watchdog group, where'd the Post find this? Well, obviously, there's all kinds of liberal groups out there, and I'm sure there's an evangelical watchdog group. My evangelical media watchdog group and this watchdog group. Well, look at the organizations the left has created to denounce their opponents while giving journalists the cover of impartiality. Robertson says he's exercising his right to engage in a business venture, but an evangelical watchdog group created by us in the media to give us insularity says he is abusing his nonprofit status. Moreover, a Texas bodybuilder who thought he was going to be Robertson's Jared is quite publicly angry that he's not. Phil Bush had dreamed of inspiring millions of Robertson's. It goes on and on and on. So now Pat Robertson's got this diet shake. He's the next Robert Atkins. After suggesting that the president of Venezuela be assassinated, Robertson himself is making a killing with his diet shake. Petty, petty, petty. I have to give the Iranians some credit for something. It's not often that we do this, but I want to give them some credit. This is a story from what? What is this stupid magazine I'm reading here? What is it? It's Dateline Tehran. I can't tell you what this is. When I printed it out, it doesn't have the website on it. It's Expatica. That's right. It's Expatica.com. And here's the story. Iran sees no justification in continuing nuclear negotiations exclusively with the European Union trio, said Iran's newly appointed chief negotiator. Speaking on state TV, Ali Larijani said that there were serious doubts whether Britain, France, and Germany were the only suitable negotiation partners and whether they genuinely represent the EU and the Board of Governors of the International Atomic Energy Agency. Why? Somebody's finally waking up that the Iranians are finally saying, why the hell are we talking to Europe? Why the hell are we talking to France and Germany about this? Who the hell are they? Hear that, Senator Kerry? Ha, 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 ha. Washington Post again. Boy, they're loaded for bear, lying through their teeth today. Did you hear the story earlier this week? Recruitment goals in all branches of the service are in excess of projections, including the reserves. Have you heard this? The media has been lying about this for as long as they can. They've been trying to say that recruitment levels are down. They are in excess of projection. They are over 100% of what they need. Headline Washington Post today. Army likely to meet August's but not year's recruiting goal. Expanding force in coming months expected to be difficult. The Army is expected to meet or exceed its monthly recruiting goal for August, but is likely to miss its annual goal for the fiscal year that ends next month amid one of the most difficult recruiting environments since it became all-volunteer, the Army's chief of staff said yesterday. How do they create this? How do they create this? They ignore the reenlistments. The recruitment and the reenlistments combine to put them above recruitment levels. The Washington Post ignores the reenlistments. They totally, and I don't ignore it, but they bury it way back in the story. The story is written by Josh White. Through the end of July, the Army was on pace to miss its annual goal by more than 10%. It raised the target in fiscal 2005 as part of a long-term effort to expand the force by 30,000 troops to a total of 512,000. Washington Post, once again, craps all over the United States military. And one final story before we go to the break. For those of you who still have an open mind about the anti-war left in this country, the story is out of Seattle. Two soldiers who just returned from a year in Iraq were badly beaten in an attack outside Pioneer Square in Seattle. But believe it or not, someone caught the beating on videotape, and now police are asking for help identifying the suspects. The brutality of it all was captured on tape outside of Larry's nightclub on 1st and Yesler on July 31st. Police say the victims were with two women who'd been groped by the suspects. One of the women threw a hot dog at the suspects and walked away, but they didn't get very far. The three suspects ran after them, began attacking the two men, two soldiers who'd come home from Iraq. The graphic videotape shows both victims getting beaten over and over again, and then after one of the victims loses consciousness, a suspect starts stomping on his head. Now the cops want your help in catching these guys. Seattle Police Officer Sean Whitcomb said, "We consider them very dangerous." After not getting any leads, the Seattle police have just released the video to the media, even though it happened over 3 weeks ago, and I think it's been on television starting last night. I think the video has been seen. But clubs and businesses that the Seattle newspaper spoke with, Como TV is what this is, have just wonder why the police waited for almost a month before making the tape public. Both victims suffered broken jaws. One suffered a broken arm. Both had other broken bones and several bruises. And the website published some still shots of the suspects from the video. So, once again, the anti-war left, claiming to be a peace movement, illustrates itself to be anything but. Quick timeout. We'll be back after this. Stay with us. Getting back to the phones here in just a quick jiffy, but I saw something last night. I'm doing some show prep last night while surrounded by a hurricane shooting blanks at me anyway. And I came across this story that some it's either a House or Senate committee, I don't remember which, is seriously thinking of conducting hearings and calling as witnesses executives of big oil. They want to get to the bottom of the rising oil price, and they're going to bring in these big executives from big oil. And as I was reading this, you know what my thought was? I think if anybody ought to be conducting hearings, it's executives of big oil. If I were the executives of big oil, I'd be calling members of Congress to come to my office and explain to me why we haven't been allowed to build any new refineries in 15 years, why we're not allowed to drill for oil off the shore of the United States of America, why we're not allowed to drill for oil at a dump up in Alaska. I would like to know why in the world that the American oil companies and other world oil companies are being deprived of the opportunity in this country to expand the supply. I want answers from the U.S. Congress. I want to know who in Congress is opposed to this, who's then turning around and pointing their fingers at me for supposedly price gouging. That's what I would, if I were big oil, I would act just like John Bolton, the New York Times, Washington Post. Hey, I'm having a big reception here at my house at the Waldorf, and you ain't invited. Ha ha. Hi, I am big oil, and you want me to come testify to you about the price of oil? Fine. I want to ask you some questions about why the hell I'm not allowed to drill and find oil for this country and my company anywhere in this country. Would you gracious members of Congress and you great politicians explain that to me and to my stockholders? Here's Carrie in Dripping Spring, Texas. Sorry about that. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Russ. Big Texas conservative dittos.
Thank you.
A friend and I are taking our 8-year-old daughters to Crawford tomorrow. I will be wearing my Club Gitmo t-shirt, and we are going to go meet up with the You Don't Speak For Me Cindy rally, and I'm going to support the troops because I'm sick of liberals, I'm sick of their smug attitude, and I'm sick of their ignorance.
God bless you, but I want to warn you.
I
want to warn you. No, I'm not. No, you don't know what I'm going to warn you about.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
What do you think I'm going to warn you about?
Well, my mom warned me. She said, you be careful. And I said, oh, they're too passive to do anything, Mom. Don't worry.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but that's not what I was going to warn. They're not passive. They are not passive. These people are mean. Uh-huh. They are mean-spirited, and they are seething with rage. Now, they're a little happy now because all the world's attention is focused on them, but... I mean, your mother's right to caution you, but no, here's what I want to warn you about.
Okay.
There are others that have preceded you. There are other people who are conservatives, individuals and groups, that have gone to Crawford. And they are being excoriated in the mainstream press. You know why? Because you and others who are going to be there are being accused of being put up to this by right-wing extremist groups. You're nothing more than a bunch of pawns. You're being sent there not because you care, not because you want to go, but because George Bush and his allies are sending you there to try to combat some of the bad PR. And I just want to remind you here, Kerry, that not one reporter in any media has dared say the same thing is exactly what's happening on the Sheehan side of this.
Exactly.
They're trying to portray it as a spontaneous eruption. You are nothing more than a pawn and a patsy being sent by friends of George Bush.
Well, they can think that, but the real reason I'm going is because, you know, at the moment, I don't have any relatives currently in the military, but I have an adopted soldier through Operation AC, and I thank God every night for him because I really, truly believe that my 6-year-old son will probably not have to be in a war because we are finishing the job now.
Well, I'm glad you look at it that way, and I appreciate what you're doing. I just wanted to pass on to you what is likely to be said about you so that you don't take it personally and don't sweat it, because they have to do anything they can to discredit any opposition to the Sheehan movement down there, and that's how they are doing it. She's what? Oh, I know this. Get this. This is part of what I wasn't going to say, but the... You know, we have a history with bus trips on this program too. Cindy Sheehan is going to take a bus trip. All these yokels down there at the Crawford ditch. When Bush leaves, they're going to follow him to Washington on a bus trip. They have a bus caravan, and they're going to go to Washington and hang out across the White House, continue the vigil. Can't afford to lose the spotlight here. Now, the last time a prominent liberal attempted this, we shut it down fast. The prominent liberal was Mrs. Clinton, and she started a series of bus trips. I remember one started in Seattle, and it was to roll into all these various spots. We got hold of the itinerary, and the sight was not pretty as Mrs. Clinton's bus and all the other buses of the caravan arrived in these towns. There was nobody there, except a bunch of people protesting. They were outnumbered. The Hillary supporters, this was for health care reform, and the Hillary supporters were dwarfed. I mean, the crowds that were there were shouting down the whole concept. We can do this again if necessary. We will be able to do this again. You might call this the Global Peace March, the reenactment of the Global Peace March. And I know they've got to drive through a bunch of red states when they're in Texas to get up to Washington, D.C., folks. I just saw that they're moving the Miss America pageant out of Atlantic City. I didn't know there was still a Miss America pageant. I thought that the feminists had shut that down. Where are they moving it? It's going to travel around in various cities like the Super Bowl. Okay, cool. By the way, Jane Fonda will be introducing George Galloway at a big anti-war rally. He's the Brit pro-Iraqi politician in Madison, Wisconsin, sometime in September. I bet Cindy Sheehan ends up there, too, on her bus caravan. Because whatever happened to Fonda's bus caravan, but she's supposed to have one, too. Idea whose time has passed.